be seated. The board is ready to hear oral argument from petitioners in Nelson versus State.
May I please report, petitioners will be represented by Mr. C.S. Hall, Jr. Mr. Hall has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
You're in possession of some property in the state of Texas, and 3 years go by and nobody makes any claim to it, and you don't know the name and the address of the owner of the property. You're required to first report that to the state of Texas and then transfer. That 3-year period is commonly referred to as dormancy period. The court below rules that with respect to cash bail bonds, the dormancy period begins when final judgment is entered in the underlying case in which the bail bond was posted. Before I get on to telling you why that was incorrect, I have to first point
out... The appeal period that's going on doesn't count. I want to know what you mean by final judgment. You're talking about I've just rendered judgment in the trial court, and it's gone up on appeal, but for the purpose of reporting and of the funds, it now is the time's running.
I believe, although that wasn't an issue in this case, that what was contemplated was a final judgment after appellate remedies are exhausted. The point I wanted to start with is there's no evidence in this record that any of the criminal cases in which these cash bail bonds were posted have preceded the final judgment. And therefore, I think that holding is advisory. I think it's inappropriate to issue an opinion about the effect of a final judgment when there is no final judgment evidenced in the record. It's at least imprudent, I have argued and continue to argue, that the court below was without authority to issue that opinion. But as to the merits of why it was incorrect, in addition to that, when this suit was filed, Section 117.002 of the Local Government Code had not yet been amended. And when the state filed suit seeking to compel transfer of several million dollars of cash bail bond money, Dallas County said, well, these cash bail bonds are governed by the Code of Criminal Procedure, and none of these cash bail bonds at issue have been released by the trial court. And Article 1702 of the Code of Criminal Procedure says, and I'm paraphrasing, that the custodian of the funds is to hold them until ordered to release them to the defendant by the court. Dallas County said, we're not going to release these because the court hasn't ordered us to. And besides that, they can't really be abandoned if the court hasn't released them and the defendant's not yet entitled to them. The state's position...
But the court can't release them until the defendant petitions the court to do that. And if you can't find the defendant, he can't petition the court. Under your argument, they could be there in perpetuity.
Well, I think that is the catch-22 that the state has pointed out. And first of all, that is true in some counties. It tends to vary from county to county.
$2 million.
Pardon me?
$2 million here, or was it more?
It was $2 million or so plus interest, I believe, is what the actual claim was.
Is there anything that prevents the trial courts here from just ordering the release because the property's been abandoned?
No. And there's nothing to prevent the local custom from being releasing the bond at the same time you enter final judgment.
But if you don't, then what's the answer to Judge Williams' question?
The answer to that, from our point of view, is that yes, there are going to be some occasions when a criminal defendant is entitled to his bond and just disappears and doesn't claim it, and there is no trigger for release of the bond, and presumably the legislature was aware of that eventuality when it devised the system that it devised.
Isn't that how most district courts operate? They require some sort of movement from the defendant to release the funds, for example, a guardianship situation. There must be some triggering motion or action from the party who deposited the funds to get them released.
Typically, I agree. That's correct. And typically it is done with the final judgment. I don't presume in this case that there are final judgments in these cases. So that's kind of a hypothetical eventuality that I would urge you not to address.
But you are taking the position that you get to keep the funds in perpetuity.
I'm taking a position specifically that the dormancy period begins not with final judgment, but when the court orders the release of the bond.
But there's no mechanism for the court to order a release of the bond if they don't do it at the same time that final judgment is finished.
Well, the person entitled to the release of the bond could come subsequent to that.
But they don't ever show up, so you get to keep
That's
the money
correct.
How long?
I get to keep the money.
If what if the person dies, does the estate have a claim, or what happens if the person dies?
I think that the estate would have the same, and this is just based on general principles. I don't specifically know. I think the estate would have the right to petition the court for the release of that bond.
And if you keep the money, you don't have to report to the state or anybody else that you die.
That's correct.
Is the trial court order pending in the material?
I believe that the state of the law in Texas is that once the defendant complies with the conditions of the bond, which is primarily appear for trial, and final judgment is entered, the trial court has little or no basis for withholding the release of the bond. I think ministerial would not be inaccurate. I would have to agree with that. Okay.
Is it true that you can get the money back without a court order?
I don't believe that would be correct.
The state says there are some counties, if you show up with the judgment, the defendant does, he can get his bond back.
It may well be that some counties follow that informal procedure. The Code of Criminal Procedure, however, says upon order of the court, the custodian releases.
Why would it take the judgment being final after appeal as opposed to being final in the trial court before the period would start running if, in fact, the defendant's entitled to the money once the trial court enters judgment?
Well, that's a good point, and you may well be right. I think it's a moot point, again, because there's no evidence of any
Well, I understand that's the specifics of this case, but for purposes of interpreting the statute...
I think your point's well taken. The state has argued that 117.002 governs the disposition of this case. That statute says, and again I'm paraphrasing, for court registry funds in the possession of a clerk, after 3 years from final judgment, they're to be transferred to the state without further order of the court. Our position was, no, Code of Criminal Procedure governs these. That's a specific statute which controls over the general. Well, apparently the legislature got wind of our little dispute, or at least that there was some disagreement in the state about how this should be addressed, and they amended Section 117.002.
Do other counties disagree?
I don't know.
Argue on Dallas?
No one's called me asking for permission to join in on this. They tend to let the big counties make these fights, frankly.
Can cash bail bonds ever be abandoned property under the Unclaimed Property Act?
I think so.
And what would be required for it to become abandoned property?
I think the court has to release the bond and then 3 years pass without a claim to it.
Now, what interest does Dallas County have in this? This is the treasurer and the county clerk who are in fear of being in violation of their courts if they release the funds to the state under this. This is what's going on here.
I think the treasurer was involved in another dispute that's not part of this part of the appeal. It concerns some uncashed checks that were in his possession.
You're really just interested in having the court say something. You don't care if we say no. The entering the order by the trial court is ministerial, and so the trial court just when the state requests a claim, the trial court just enters the answer and go in. You don't really have a concern about what the result is, just as long as the officers are not in contempt of their own courts for releasing these funds.
I don't really agree with that. I think the Dallas County Clerk certainly wants to comply with its court's orders and its understanding of the Code of Criminal Procedure. I think that it also wants to give proper effect to the legislative intent as evidenced in the 1997 amendment to 117.02. But beyond that, to be frank with you, Dallas County probably does draw some financial benefit from having this money.
But what is there? This is not Dallas County's money. on the tax fraud schemes, it would never be their money.
That's correct. It's money that they're holding, that they may earn some interest on, that they would not be entitled to keep, by the way, if the defendant showed up and asked for the money, other than an administration fee.
Who is the holder of the money?
Well,
on a day-to-day basis?
I'm not sure. It's in the county depository. Mr. Bullock has supplied an affidavit that says the sheriff takes the money and it goes into the county depository, and I've got a record of it here, and I'm part of the process of refunding it, but I'm not strictly in possession of it.
If we do have an order entered in a cash bail bond ordering that it can be delivered to the defendant, that all conditions of the bail have been, the bond have been met, who, and the defendant does not claim it, and it becomes abandoned property, who has the duty under the statute to report to the state under the reporting requirement? And then, second of all, who has the duty to deliver?
I think that the state has made the argument, and I don't disagree, that because Mr. Bullock has made reports in the past, he's the one responsible for making the report. I think that the county, through its commissioner's court, and arguably the county auditor would be responsible for the delivery.
Is there a gap in the statute someplace? Is that what you're telling us?
I think it's partly a function of the unique structure of county government. There may be a gap in the statute.
Well, as a follow-up to Justice O'Neill's earlier question, that you could have a circumstance where you have property that has, in the practical sense, been abandoned, but what you're saying in the technical sense under the statute doesn't constitute abandoned property. You can sit in the Dallas County Treasury from now till forever with no one claiming it and no effort made as the legislature intended under the Unclaimed Property Act to have it returned to its owner.
Right. And this is precisely what I presume the legislature considered when it made a deliberate decision in 1997 to insert the clause, accept cash bail bonds, from 117.002, so that they've made a deliberate choice not only to leave these under the jurisdiction of the trial court, for better or worse, but also to specifically exempt it from 117.002, automatic transfer, but without an order.
But perhaps thinking that there would be an order in every case, so it wouldn't be a problem. Problem is the case where there's no order.
I understand. And from a policy making point of view, I see that the Court of Appeals tried to further the purposes of the Unclaimed Property Act. And I'm not saying that their decision was unwise in the abstract. I am saying that the policy is made by the legislature. The legislature apparently made the decision not to further the Unclaimed Property Act at all costs in this case, and that should have been deferred to.
Is nothing in the record to show why?
No.
Well,
other than to clarify,
you don't believe that the statute, by inserting accept cash bail bonds, was intended to take cash bail bonds out of the unclaimed property?
No, not at all. I think it was intended to leave it under the jurisdiction of the trial court until the court released it, after which it would become subject to the terms of the unclaimed.
All right, so they are still funds deposited under this chapter. 117.
I think that's accurate.
Okay, if there's still funds deposited under this chapter, then the amendment logically only relates to whether they're automatically reported and delivered or not.
I think that it relates also to when the dormancy period began. I think that they've made the clear choice to take it outside of 117.002, which says you transfer without a court order after 3 years from final judgment.
But the provision in the amendment, that only relates to the first sentence. It's not in the second sentence that talks about dormancy.
I think that they go, yeah, I think it's part of one package.
He said a minute ago he thought that the state got wind and the legislature got wind of your dispute, and you were about to finish that sentence when someone asked you a question. What were you going to say?
I was just going to qualify by saying that maybe it was a more general understanding that there was a disagreement statewide about whether the Code of Criminal Procedure governs or 117.002, and maybe it wasn't specifically out of this lawsuit.
The Code of Criminal Procedure could apply, but that doesn't necessarily answer the question of the dormancy period, does it? I mean, they're treating a lot of funds out there because of contractual agreements or questions of law, that it takes some person's affirmative act to release funds that don't belong to them. But they don't know who to release the funds to, and so they get released to the state upon the state's claim. It just so happens in the Code of Criminal Procedure, the person that's got authorized to release is this judge over here. But that somehow doesn't play into when it's abandoned. It's abandoned while it's sitting in the judge's depository, but because the judge doesn't have anybody to release it to, so the state comes and asks me, and the judge releases it to the state.
In this hypothetical scenario, that could happen. We don't know that that's the case with any of these bail bonds. I think that the procedure for allowing the state to go to the trial court and petition for release of the bond is inappropriate because the legislature created the state's rights to unclaimed property and they didn't give them that right. And I think when they create a right and a remedy like that, it's exclusive. And that's one of the reasons the court erred.
Any other questions?
Yes, please. If you answered Judge Gonzalez about the current version of 002, is the package situation, although the second sentence doesn't include except cash bail bond. But your viewpoint is that it should have that phrase in there to carry out your viewpoint of when the dormancy begins, is that right?
No, I don't think it would be necessary to actually physically insert it in there. I think it's implied, and I think the Court of Appeals agreed. They acknowledged that 117.002, by the plain language of the statute, says it's not abandoned, and so you don't have to report it or deliver it. And the court said, yeah, but they must not have meant that. So the court below, I think, agreed with my interpretation that except cash bail bond leads to the conclusion that the dormancy period is not triggered by the final judgment. And I think that the court's opinion at 151 says generally we go with the plain language of the statute, but this time we think that leads to an absurd result.
Which is?
Well, they didn't specify. They simply said that they didn't think the comptroller should have to take any action before a report had to be made. And my position is, as I said, that they've ignored the irony that they reached an absurd result by creating this category of property that's unclaimed, that's abandoned for the reporting purposes, but not abandoned for the delivery purposes.
We're speaking about what the Court of Appeals did.
Right.
In that particular
yes,
right.
Yes, Ron.
But you read the plain language in the bail bonds don't need to be reported or delivered without a court order.
Yes.
So the real fight is when does the dormancy period start?
That's where I was pinning
the rule. Is it triggered by Section 1701 rather than this one?
Well, 1702, yes, Your Honor. And I think, more importantly, that's what I think the legislature determined when it amended 1702.
Any other questions? Thank you, Counsel. Stewart is ready to hear argument from Ms. Farmer.
May it please the Court, Ms. Maureen Powers will represent the respondents.
May it please the Court, the overriding policy of the state for the past 40 years has been the Unclaimed Property Act. The issue raised by this case is, can the Dallas County Clerk keep in perpetuity what is $3 million in counting of cash bail bond money that has been abandoned in the registry of the court? The whole case can be summarized by the characterization that the Dallas County Clerk asked for an inch and has taken a mile with regard to this amendment to the local government code.
Before you address that, well, how do you respond to your opposing counsel's argument that the Court of Appeals holding was purely advisory because there's no evidence that there have been any final judgments in it?
Yeah, I think that's wholly incorrect. The question is one of statutory construction, and you don't need factual evidence in order to get statutory construction on whether or not the question was, is cash bail bond money personal property subject to the Unclaimed Property Act? And the reason that the parties presented competing motions for summary judgment on that issue was so that the issue could be decided before we entered into extensive discovery. Even apart from the fact that I don't think we needed any kind of evidence in order to get an issue of statutory construction decided, there were competing affidavits submitted with the record. And in those affidavits, the state said, we have audited Dallas County's clerk's office, and we have found cash bail bond money that meets the definition of unclaimed property, in that a judgment has been entered, and the defendant has not recovered their bail bond money, and more than 3 years has passed. In response to that, Dallas County said, yes, we do have this money on deposit with the clerk, but it's not susceptible to the Unclaimed Property Act because, in addition to the judgment, the Code of Criminal Procedure requires yet another order to release this money to the defendant.
And that seems to say that.
But the case law under Article 17.02 is clear that an order of release is the judgment, and that is what the practice is in many counties.
What about the bill analysis? How do you address that?
Excuse me?
The bill analysis. It seems pretty clear from the bill analysis that the legislature recognized there was a conflict between the local government code and the criminal code of procedure, and said that we're going to resolve that and say, with respect to cash bail bonds, Code of Criminal Procedure governs.
Well, I'll concede the legislature perceived that there was a conflict between the local government code and the Code of Criminal Procedure. I don't see it. The Code of Criminal Procedure governs the relationship between the defendant and the party when the case is pending. The Unclaimed Property Act comes into play when the defendant is no longer able or has capacity to enforce his rights under the Code of Criminal Procedure. He's not asking for his bail bond money back. He doesn't know about it. But it's the judgment that fixed his right to recover that bail bond money. And
do you agree that the statutory language doesn't really say that? It tends to say the opposite. You need another order.
No, I can't agree with that. I think a judgment is a class of order. So is an order of dismissal. And the practice in many Texas counties is that the judgment serves as the order that entitles the defendant to recover his bail bond money. And that's in the record, at least for Travis County, from the county treasurer, that all she requires to issue the bail bond money to the defendant is that he present his judgment, his receipt, that he paid, that he posted the bail, and positive identification.
So you agree, you disagree with the Austin Court of Appeals too then, to the extent that Austin said, you got to have an order and we're going to allow the state to go in and petition the trial court for the order.
We argued in the Court of Appeals that the judgment was the only order that was needed.
I understand, and the Austin Court rejected that apparently and did decide that an order was required, and that's why it gave the state the right to go in and petition the trial court for such an order.
What I think the Austin Court of Appeals did was look at the purpose language in the House bill analysis and come to the conclusion that for whatever reason the legislature is thinking there is another order required in order to release cash bail bond money to the state in order to effect that transfer. And because it's clear from the purpose language of the House bill that the legislature is assuming the cash bail bond money is subject to the Unclaimed Property Act.
Is there any authority out of the Intermediate Courts of Appeals or the Court of Criminal Appeals interpreting the statute as to whether or not the judgment is sufficient or that a separate order is required to release the bail bond?
There's nothing on that particular point. The McConathy case out of the Court of Criminal Appeals is the one that establishes that a judgment vests in the defendant the absolute right to recover their
But in terms
money.
Of interpreting the Code of Criminal Procedure, the way the Austin Board of Appeals did in this instance, apparently, and the way the legislature apparently thought it was written to require an order, there's not any case law in Texas that says whether or not a separate order is required?
There's not.
And is there anything in this record with respect to what the regular practice is of the trial judges in Dallas County?
do they typically enter orders releasing bail bonds, or does the judgment suffice as a matter of practice in Dallas County?
There's nothing in the record with regard to Dallas County. My understanding is they do require a separate order. They have at least since 1995, from what I understand.
So what position does that put the Dallas County clerk and Dallas County treasurer in if the trial courts are saying to him, sorry, you can't have the money because we have to have an order under the code of criminal procedure instead of Texas is saying turn it over? Who should the county clerk listen to?
I can tell you what the practice has been, is that until this day, the clerks all over the state have recorded and delivered funds in the registry of the court without an order from the judge in the underlying case.
But has, in Dallas County, have they been regularly recording cash bail bonds without an order from a trial court, or has that not been regularly reported?
It has not been regularly reported.
And so apparently the clerk and treasurer of Dallas County have determined that they can't do anything with this money until a trial judge over at Crowley says this money has been released and is now available to the defendant. So what should they do under those circumstances when the trial judges are saying, we're not going to allow you to have this money and you can't release it without an order, and the state of Texas is saying, turn it over? Who prevails under those circumstances if you are a public official found in those circumstances?
I would assume that's where we are with this. The state, the Dallas County officials told us they weren't going to turn over the money, and so we sued them to turn over the money.
So does it solve your problem if we go with, I guess, the Austin Court of Appeals that says you can petition those courts to release the money? And so they release the money, and so we all go away.
It's a burdensome remedy, but it's one that we feel we can affect, perhaps with most counties, either by implementing a standing order that all the courts
must. Mr. Hall, it's almost nearly a ministerial act, so it seems to me, yeah, just a form order you have, you fill in a case number, ship it up, and ask the court to enter it.
That's what we anticipate.
And then the clerks would deliver the money to you.
Exactly.
If the legislature thought that 1702 required another order, that's what you think they thought.
I agree. That's what it says in the House bill analysis.
If that's what they thought, what were they accomplishing in the 19-1 amendment to the local government code? Weren't they furthering that purpose?
In 1991, yes, the legislature was furthering the purpose of getting abandoned cash money out of the court's registry and transferred to it.
How did they do that? If they thought another order was required, why would they pass this amendment? It looks like this lets on the counties.
The 97 amendment.
Yes, 97, I'm sorry.
No, there's a couple of reasons why they aren't letting it go to the county. The first would be, I would cite to the purpose language of the House bill, which assumes that it is unclaimed property, but simply we need to go through another step of getting the court in the underlying case to release it.
Looks like they'd say any funds, and especially cash bail bonds, would be under this statute rather than do it the other way, say. Any fund except cash bail.
Well, except I think what it says, for clarification, cash bail bond money is exempt from transfer until released by the court. So what it's assuming, when I understand my read, is yes, this is unclaimed bail bond, unclaimed abandoned property, but it's not going to the state until it's released. By a second court order. I think that's what the Austin Court of Appeals understood to me.
But that's your position, that's what the legislature thought.
Yes, and that's our position. We're seeking affirmance of the Austin Court of Appeals decision.
Ms. Powers, is there anything in the code of criminal procedure that requires an order before a county reports these kinds of actions?
No.
There's not?
No.
The amendment to the local government code, do you agree that the purpose of that amendment was to resolve an apparent conflict between the code of procedure and the local government code regarding the disposition of these kinds of assets?
I'll agree that that's what the legislature perceived when it passed that amendment.
Is it possible then, so where is there the requirement that, is it possible that the local government code then does not impose an obligation to have a court order before you report these assets? Is there an obligation in the code of criminal procedure to report the assets?
No, the Code of Criminal Procedure doesn't address the Unclaimed Property Act at all.
Where is the obligation then to have a court order before you report these assets?
Well, I think what the theory is that Dallas County says is if you look at Article 17.02 of the Code of Criminal Procedure and you read it the way we do, that an additional court order is required in order for the defendant to recover the bail bond money. And the state stands in the shoes of the defendant when it requests this money be delivered. Then the state is barred by the same procedural hurdle that we're imposing in front of defendants in order to get their cash bail bond money back. And if the defendant's rights are defeated by this additional court order in order to get their bail bond money back, then so is the state's right to recover or assume custodianship of the money.
Can anyone else under the Code of Criminal Procedure petition the trial court for an order if, in fact, a separate order is required to release bail bonds?
Defendants may petition. In practice, they can assign their bail bond money to another person. I'm assuming it's common that they assign their bail bond money to their attorney. And the practice is for the attorney to go recover the money. So I assume that whoever the defendant assigned their money to could petition for it.
Do you agree, though, that there's not anything in the code that could be interpreted to give the state of Texas the right to petition the trial court, or Dallas County, for that matter, to petition the trial court to release?
No, and I think it is a mischaracterization of what the Court of Appeals really intended to do, to call it a petition, because that implies some sort of independent cause of action. I think really all that the Court of Appeals has done is say, it's tried to harmonize the Unclaimed Property Act with this amendment.
But in fact, for a third party to come in and move the trial court to release the money, there's not anything in the Code of Criminal Procedure that could be interpreted to allow a third party to come in and do that.
Not that I'm aware of.
If in this case we were to disagree with you and determine that a separate order is required, does this record then support the court disposing of the case on the summary judgment motions, or are there fact issues with respect to whether or not there are separate orders with respect to a lot of these bail bonds?
I don't think there are any fact issues. The money that's in the registry of the court is there because the defendant has never asked for it.
But if a requirement for it to become abandoned property under the statute is there to be an order out of the trial court releasing it?
Yes.
And we don't have those orders in all of these cases or any of these cases, I presume.
I presume it's in none of the cases.
Okay. What about the county also takes the position that even if we agree with you, that some of these bail bonds have in fact already been refunded or forfeited? Do you agree or disagree with the status of these particular bonds? That there is some dispute between the county and the state as to whether or not the county really has all these bail bonds.
There's a dispute over the amount.
The summary judgment's not proper in this case with respect to the amount at issue.
That's right. What I would like to note for the court is that what Dallas County is representing to the court is that it knows that it's holding cash bail bond money of its citizens, of people who have complied with the requirements of their bail. They have appeared for judgment. They have failed to request, go that extra step and request their money back. The Dallas County clerk also is saying that even though, is also stating that once the 3 years has passed, even the state may not stand in the shoes of the defendant and recover that money. This defeats very important public purposes that the legislature intended with the Unclaimed Property Act. First, that unclaimed property was going to be aggregated in the state's treasury for the benefit of the state. And secondly, the state is under their duty to notify the true owners of the money. And the state accomplishes that by, one, having an internet site where all owners' names are posted, and they can access that information at any time. And also, every year, when newly reported owners come into the state publishes all those names in the state's newspapers. The state of Texas has a very successful program with regard to its unclaimed property, in that approximately a third of the owners are reunited with their property through this program. What the Dallas County clerk is attempting to do with this very small amendment that really only addresses the question of transferring the bail bond money to the state is say, no, this money is not going to be transferred because this ministerial order is not here. This has been tried before with holders who have come up with the idea that, well, the true owner has really no claim for this money anymore because limitations have passed. And if they were to sue us for this money, we wouldn't have to turn it over to them. That's the El Paso Electric case that was cited by Dallas County for the proposition that the state stands in the shoes of the true owner. Several of these cases were decided in favor of the holders, that they didn't have to turn the money over to the state. So the legislature went back and amended the property code and said that affirmative defenses in the form of limitations is not going to defeat the Unclaimed Property Act, and this property is going to be turned over to the state and reported. So what I want to come back to is the Dallas County clerk is saying there is a ministerial order that needs to be entered, either for the defendants themselves to recover this money or for the transfer to be effected to the state. And the state will agree that the Court of Appeals arrives at a harmonization of these statutes that works to fulfill both purposes of the Unclaimed Property Act and what appears to be the intent behind the amendment to the local government code that the legislature believes another order is required in order to effect transfer to the state. But the important point that the Austin court kept in mind was that the dormancy period began with the judgment, because that's when the rights were fixed in the owner of the money, and that's Texas law. Judgments fix everyone's rights relative to the money in the registry of the court. And that was the important point that the Austin court reached. The fact that a second order needs to be entered to effect transfer, that's burdensome and it's bureaucratic, but it's not something that is insurmountable, and it doesn't permit the Dallas County to keep the money in perpetuity.
Any other questions? Thank you, Counsel.
Mr. Hall, isn't the right, the defendant's right to get the bail money back a property right?
I think that's probably a correct statement.
And why isn't a fair construction of the statute to say that after 3 years, when the defendant has not exercised that property right, that he or she has abandoned that right, and the state can stand in the shoes of the defendant and petition for the bail bond money back?
First of all, again, and I'm sorry to keep harping on this, but I respectfully disagree about the state of the record with respect to whether there's any evidence of a final judgment in this case. There isn't any. But to answer your question, I think that while I agree with you in the abstract in terms of general principles of law, the Code of Criminal Procedure says upon order of the court, and I would argue that the right is not vest until the court orders the release.
Assuming I agree with you on that point, and the defendant would have a right to come in and petition the court for an order to release the money. And I'm asking you, what is flawed about the theory that after 3 years, the state steps into the defendant's shoes, that the defendant has abandoned the right to come in and petition to get his or her cash bail bond back. The state then comes in the place of that defendant, and takes that abandoned property right and asserts it and asks the trial court to enter the second order releasing the cash money to the state, who then stands in the shoes of the defendant. What's wrong with that analysis?
Two things. First of all, I agree that the state stands in the shoes of the defendant, but I don't think that that right comes until the court releases the bond.
Let me ask you on that. Did I hear you correctly that the defendant, let me start with, if I understand Ms. Powers' argument, it is the entry of the judgment that then entitles the defendant to the money back from the bond. Your argument, it seems to me, is no. Until the court releases the funds, the defendant is not entitled to the funds. Right? That's your argument.
That's correct.
So if we go back and we look at the effect of a bond, which is a basically conditioned on the defendant showing up at court, and we determine that, no, it's not a judgment after the appeals are done, that makes it final. But it's the entry of judgment that is the trigger to the defendant's right to have the bond put back. Do you lose?
I don't think so. I'm sorry I got distracted because I started thinking, well, it might make a difference if the appeal is by the state on the point of law or by the defendant. If the defendant is appealing a conviction, he might not be entitled to the bond at that point. I'm not sure.
But the state seems to be arguing that a bond is an appearance issue. When the judgment is entered, the conditions of the bond have been satisfied, essentially. And all that's left is for the defendant to petition the court. If that is a correct interpretation, then does Dallas County lose?
I don't think so. I don't agree with the interpretation, but I think the way I would look at it is this. The right to the release of the bond, even if it's ministerial, doesn't come until the order is signed. The right to the release of the bond doesn't come on final judgment until the court says you can have the bond.
But could the court refuse to sign that order?
In a typical sense of which I'm aware, it could not. Which reminds me, there was a question about, is there a case anywhere that says there has to be a separate order? I'm not aware of one. The De Leon versus Pennington case, though, out of the Court of Appeals in San Antonio, is a case where they ruled the defendant was, or maybe it was a surety, entitled to the bond, and they instructed the trial court to order the custodian to release the bond. So
she cited McConathy versus the state as authority for saying that the final judgment fixes the defendant's right to recover the cash bail bond. And in her view, that's the order that's contemplated by 1702.
I don't read it that way.
Well, is there a specific language in a criminal trial court's final judgment of conviction saying you're now convicted, you're going to be sent away, but you comply with the conditions of the bond and it's refunded to you?
Not necessarily, although I believe that some courts could put that in their judgment.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the argument on the second clause. The court will take another recess.
All right.